Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord, for they have heard of your mouth. They have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Trevor's going to be continuing reading in the same psalm later in the service. But I want to point out one thing from this psalm real quick. In verse 4, it says, all the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, O Lord. You see, in the end, everything and everyone will glorify God. And God's elect, His first fruits, as God's first fruits, now we get to be part of that now. We get to be a part of glorifying God now. So when we come to worship, we're joining with the angels. We're joining with the angels and singing the everlasting song that God deserves all glory and all praise and that Christ is exalted above all things. Let's pray. God, thank you that as we come here to worship, we are singing the songs of the angels, that you are truly worthy of all praise, and that Christ is exalted, and that as we worship you, God, that we're singing that song, we get to be a part of the everlasting song, the song that you started from the beginning of creation, and that it's going to be completed, that song will be see its fulfillment in the future, when you at the fulfillment of all things. God, we thank you that we can sing that song even now as your elect, as your first fruits. And God, I pray that as your church, we might sing that song, not only as we come together, but that as we live our lives in the world, that we would show the world how great you are, how exalted Christ is, and that we can be a part, even now, of singing the song that lasts for all eternity, how great and glorious you are. God, I pray that we would have a taste of that even this morning, that we would worship you, fix our eyes on Christ this morning, and lift up Jesus, who is the name, who has a name above all names, and worship Him alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Some people think this would be tough for me, but the truth is, I'm actually a modest person, very modest. In fact, many people tell me that modesty is perhaps my best quality.
I don't care who you're voting for. That's funny. And it's funny because we know that even Donald Trump doesn't believe that he's a modest person, right? And you start off by saying, maybe you didn't hear him, but they say when you start to do this kind of an event, you always start out with a self-deprecating joke. So, I mean, even Trump knew when it comes to modesty, he's got to be joking, right? We all know that he's got to be joking when he said that because, I mean, that's the very definition of a self-deprecating joke, right? When he says that he is modest, right? But his joke about himself really could just as easily be made by each one of us. You see, we all seem to think that we're more humble than we are. We all seem to think, I'm a pretty modest person. We all seem to think that we're more modest than the next guy. We all seem, and we're not even joking when we say these kinds of things or think these kinds of things. We all seem to think, man, we're thinking about somebody else, or maybe even about Donald Trump. Man, he's got an ego. That guy, or just maybe not even Donald Trump. We all know he's got an ego, but we're thinking about somebody, the next guy down the street. He's got an ego. Man, that person could really use to be taken down a few notches, right? We just think, man, that person should be more like me. That person should be more like me because I'm so humble, right? Because I'm so humble. We all seem to think that we're more humble than we actually are. So actually, how humble are you? Let's find out. On a scale of 1 to 10, think real quick, how humble are you? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being Not at all humble, no humility whatsoever. 10 being the most humble person to have ever lived, okay? 10 being most humble, 1 being very, very little humble, maybe not even humble at all. How humble are you? So by raise of hands, let's figure this out. If you're a 1 on the scale of humility, raise your hand. Matthew thinks he is a 1 on that scale of humility. If you're a 2, raise your hand. A 3? A 4? Five, that's like average humility, right? Average humility, okay. 6, a little more humble, a little more humble than average. 7, okay, 7. Now we're getting into really humble people, right? Super humble people at this point. 8, anybody think that they're 8 on that scale? 9? Anybody a 10 on the scale of humility? Raylan's holding her hand up. Wow. I think we all need to think about that definition of humility a little bit, don't we? Well, no matter where you are on that scale, if I were a gambling man, I would bet that you came to your number that you chose with a little bit of pride. Just a little bit. Because if you answered more than 5, you think you're more humble than the average person. I'm more humble, right? How humble of you. And if you answered 2, then at least you thought, well, I'm more humble than 1. At least I got that going for me. I'm more humble than 1. And even if you answered 1, you probably thought you'd be pretty humble about your humility. And you thought, man, how clever of me to think to answer 1 here on that scale. I know because I'm the same way. I want to be humble, and I try to be humble. But it seems like the harder I try to be humble, the more I exalt myself, right? I pride myself in being far more humble than I actually am. So how do we humble ourselves? I mean, if we try to be humble, and it doesn't quite work that way, how do we humble ourselves? And why should we humble ourselves? I mean, it seems like the only way to make something of yourself in this world is to toot your own horn, right? I mean, to brag about your strengths, to make yourself first, and maybe even cutting others down, making them last, so that you can rise above everyone else and be honored in this world. Is that how it works? Well, even though we don't say it, we sometimes think that way. We think that way, thinking we have to brag about our strengths and cut other people down and those sorts of things. I mean, that's what causes us to gossip, right? That's what causes us to bully others. And even just to lie. I mean, we want to be honored. We want to be respected. And we think that we have to do these kinds of things. We need to strive to honor ourselves and take that honor, steal that honor. And in other words, sin. And then act like we haven't sinned so that we can be honored. Just like everyone else. Well, I don't think it's a sin to be honored, to be exalted, because God Himself is exalted. But how we go about exalting ourselves makes all the difference. Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. Now He told a parable to those who were invited. When He noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' but then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are highly exalted. We praise You, for You truly are worthy of all praise. So we pray that You would humble us, that we would not steal your glory, but rest in your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we saw from the scripture how Jesus was invited to eat at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day. And we saw that even before they sat down for dinner, even before they, I mean, just basically as they came into the home, Jesus had already healed a man on the Sabbath, stirred some feathers up that way, and already broken their misunderstanding of the law. I mean, the ruler of the Pharisees, they thought they knew what the scripture taught about healing on the Sabbath, but then Jesus comes in and he completely breaks what they thought he should have done according to the law. He had already challenged their teachings, all of their practices, and left them utterly speechless because of their pride and hardness of heart. He did all that just as soon as he walked in the door. Well, this passage this morning is a continuation of that same account, and our passage this morning is no different. Jesus will once again challenge everything that they think they should do. As guests began to arrive at the dinner party, Jesus noticed that each one of them would sit as closely as possible to the person who was hosting this party, the ruler of the Pharisees. And they would do that because those were the places of honor. If you were to sit close to the ruler of close to the person who invited you, that meant a few things. That meant one, that you were important. Two, that the person who was throwing the party thought that you were important and he wanted to honor you. You were an honored guest in the party. If you could sit close to the person who was throwing the party, that meant you were important and distinguished. So everybody who was being who was coming to that dinner party were rushing to take those good spots before someone else could take them. Before someone else could take those spots. Because they all wanted to be honored. They all wanted to be recognized as a distinguished guest. And they thought that they deserved that honor. It's kind of funny how some of us tend to think and act the same way. We put ourselves first because we think we deserve to be first. And some of us think that way without even realizing that we're thinking that way. Like when you beat yourself up about something stupid you did, you know, you think you're being humble about that, thinking that I'm not great, not good in that moment. But when you beat yourself up because of something stupid you did, and you just can't forgive yourself, you might in those moments think you're being humble, but if you can't accept God's forgiveness, that God forgives you, then the truth is, you're hanging on to your pride. So even when we think we're being humble sometimes we're actually hanging on to our pride. Verse 8. Jesus said, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place." So Jesus points out the obvious here. You're not as awesome as you think you are. You're not as awesome as you think you are. You're not as well liked as you think you are. You're not as smart as you think you are. There's always someone better, always someone smarter, and always someone more important than you. And if you base your wealth in this world based on how smart you are or how honored you think people should honor, how much people you think should honor you, then you've got a very hard road ahead of you in this life. See, when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, you're going to be shamed, forced to take the lowest place. And once again, maybe you don't cognitively think that you're better than anyone. But if you've ever thought that everyone else, or maybe just one person, should agree with you on something that you think, I think we all kind of do that sometimes, don't we? Whether politics or your opinion about what color the carpet should be or what color the cabinets should be, if you've ever wanted your way on anything, then you're exalting yourself. You're exalting your opinion, thinking of yourself more highly than you ought, and you're not as awesome as you think you are. It's kind of like that one kid in elementary school who always tried to cut in line. You know that kid. Man, I hate that kid. You know? He's always trying, he always cut in line, right? Sometimes I was that kid, so just like, for full disclosure. But he always tries to cut in line, right? And everybody's like, get in the back of the line, get in the back of the line. But then, I mean, nobody really has the authority to send him to the back of the line because everybody's trying to, you know, themselves get to the front. But then when the teacher finally catches that child, what does the teacher say? Go to the back of the line. You know, each one of us is kind of like that. We're all scrambling around to get to the front of the line, trying to exalt ourselves, but when you try to exalt yourself, you will be humbled. So Jesus told this parable, which was really just a description of what the guests were doing right then. They were coming in and taking the places of honor. And Jesus responds by saying, you think this is what matters? You think that taking the best spots right now in this dinner party, that that's going to matter for all eternity? No, because if you exalt yourself here, you're going to be humbled in eternity. Because nobody, when we are faced with the majesty of Almighty God, nobody's going to say, I deserve the honored place. God alone deserves that place, that honored place. And we're all going to recognize that God alone is worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. So Jesus tells us to be humble. Verse 10, it says, but when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. So Jesus encourages humility, right? And not just humility of thought and speech. That's the kind of humility that, you know, corporate CEOs are really all about today. They say you have to be humble to be a leader of an organization and that kind of thing. Not just humility of thought and speech, but humility of actions. Humility in action. Not just saying that you're humble, but actually living that way. Not just saying you're a 9 or 10 on the humility scale, but actually living like a 9 or a 10. By serving someone else, by honoring someone else, by truly recognizing your position before God. And people, before God and people. I mean, in such a way that causes you to consider others as more significant than yourself. That's what the Bible encourages us to do. Then Jesus summed up the principle like this. Verse 11 says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, when we look at, I don't want to mention names at this point, but certain politicians who've gotten to where they are, it doesn't seem like they've humbled themselves all that much. So how can this principle be true? I mean, he who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, maybe it's not always true in this world, is it? Sometimes it seems like those who exalt themselves are exalted in this world. And those who humble themselves remain humbled all their lives. And what it seems like whenever we try to humble ourselves, that's what we get. More humility. Maybe the problem is that we're trying to humble ourselves. Whenever we try to humble ourselves, what do we really get? Well, we get more of ourselves, right? I mean, if you're by your strength trying to do something, we always get more of ourself when we, by our strength, do that thing. So, and we demonstrated a moment ago when we looked at that scale that even if you call yourself a 1 or a 2, what you're actually doing is being proudful about that 1 or 2. Whenever we try to humble ourselves, we can't help but also try to exalt ourselves. I mean, we read this verse and think, yeah, I need to humble myself. I mean, I want to be exalted, so therefore I need to humble myself. So I really need to humble myself so that I can be exalted. And really, we're not really interested in being humble at that point. We're interested in being exalted. See, if our motivation in humbling ourselves is to be exalted, then we're really not trying to be humble. are we? I don't know if it's really even possible for us to truly humble ourselves. Because when we try by our strength to humble ourselves, we get more of ourselves trying to do something by our strength. And that's not humility, that's pride, that's works. That's not resting in Christ. Put it this way. Even our most selfless acts, we act out of pride. I love being a foster parent. I love this little girl that we're in the process of adopting. And even though I hope more and more people become foster parents and adopt children who need loving homes, I can't help but feel a little bit of egotism in this whole situation. See, people tell me all the time, people tell us all the time, man, the world needs more people like you. We hear it all the time. You know, and a lot of times when we hear that, we want to respond, well, then be a person like us. But you see, even with that response, what I'm saying is, yeah, the world does need people like me. The world needs more of me. The world needs more people just like me. That's not humility. That's pride. Even in our most selfless acts, we act out of pride. Even our greatest acts of righteousness are filthy rags before God. That's what the Bible says. So if we can't humble ourselves, what is verse 11 really saying? Look at it again. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Let me ask you this. Who is the everyone who exalts himself? All of us, right? We all exalt ourselves. That's what that whole scale is about. We all exalt ourselves. Even when we think we're being humble, the Bible says our greatest acts of righteousness are filthy rags. Even in those very humble, selfless acts, we're still acting not perfectly humble. We're still exalting ourselves. It's everyone, every last one of us, we all exalt ourselves. Even when we try to humble ourselves, we exalt ourselves. Ever since the fall of Adam, we've been taking the place of God, and every single one of us needs to be humbled. Verse 11 goes on, and it says, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Notice that the he in this verse is one person. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. It's in the singular. Who is the one person, the he, the one person who has ever truly humbled himself? Jesus. It's Jesus. See, Jesus began his life on earth truly in a self-deprecating way. Not false humility, but true humility. He deserved fanfare and trumpets and praise, but instead he chose to be born as one of us, born in a stable even. He deserved devotion from people. But instead, the Bible says that at the end of his life, everyone turned against him. Everyone turned their backs on him. And since he never sinned, he didn't even deserve to die. He deserved to live forever. But instead, he gave his life for us so that we could live forever in him. See, he humbled himself. Truly humbled himself like none of us could do. In fact, I think Jesus is the only one who ever truly humbled himself. The Bible says he emptied himself, taking the very form of a servant. And he continues to humble himself. Check it out. The verse there in verse 11, it's in the present tense. He, the one who humbles himself, not humbled himself, humbles himself. It's in the present tense. For all eternity, even though Jesus is and will be highly exalted, even though Jesus is the name above all names and he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, he humbles himself. He's serving us. Even though Jesus is Lord, he allows us to call him brother. He's the master who serves his servants. And forever and ever, even though his name is above every name, Jesus will love his bride, the church. And what does the husband do for his bride? He loves her and gives his life for her. The psalm that Trevor and I read parts of earlier ends this way. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his promise for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And what is the work of God's hands? Well, the verse says it even right there. It says, it's his steadfast love towards us. It's Christ's righteousness applied to us. It's Jesus' humility, how he humbled himself and applied that to us. And even though we exalt ourselves and deserve to be humbled in Christ, we're exalted. I mean, so how do we get exalted? I mean, we all want to be exalted. We prove it every moment of our lives. We want that honor. We want that recognition. We want all kinds of things. But we get exalted not by striving ourselves to be exalted, not by thinking we deserve to be exalted, but by resting in the one, the only one, who truly humbled himself and was therefore exalted. And in him we're both humbled and exalted by grace through faith. You see, when we rest in Jesus, we won't want to go through life getting more money, more status, more respect. We won't want to go through life having our main goal to get that greatest job or to have everyone thinking well of us. We won't want to be recognized as important in the world because we're not living for this world. Our exaltation doesn't come through trying to steal it for ourselves. Our exaltation comes when we rest in Jesus. When we simply see Jesus. When our faith becomes sight, and when you embrace the sure hope of God's grace, you'll be so thankful for Jesus that you'll become like him in his suffering. You'll gladly serve the church, serve your community, give your time, give your energy and money so that the world might see not your goodness, but God's goodness through you. You'll joyfully be made small, serving everyone, so that everyone would see just how great Jesus is. In other words, we love because he first loved us, right? I mean, we don't love God or become humble so that we can prove to God just how great we are, that we deserve exaltation from God. We love because he first loved us. We serve because God first served us. We humble ourselves not to earn favor from anyone, but because Jesus first humbled himself for us. Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life for you, so that you would find true life in him and then joyfully give your life to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for humbling yourself for us. Thank you for dying on a cross for our sin. Humble us, that we might lose our lives for your sake and therefore find our lives in you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you may struggle with low self-esteem, and I talked a lot about this morning about needing to humble ourselves and recognize God's worth rather than our worth and all that. If you already think of yourself as worthless, I'm not saying that you should think of yourself as worthless. What I'm saying is that through Jesus Christ, you have immense worth. It's through him. So rest in him. Let's pray. God, thank you that through Jesus, not because of anything we've done or do or can do, through Jesus, we have everything we need to have a relationship with you forever. God, I pray that we wouldn't try to exalt ourselves, but we would rest in Christ who humbled himself and was exalted and is above every name. And that as we rest in him, we receive more than we can ever imagine. Help us to rest in him. Today, tomorrow, all of our lives, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.